everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, it's Patrick and Patrick.
Hi, my name's Doug.
Oh, shoot.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to F This Movie.
I was just called out. F This Movie. Hi, I'm Doug.
Patrick's friend. How are you guys? I'm Patrick, Doug's friend.
Whoa, easy, easy. Let's not label this thing.
Let's take a movie, lay it down, and F it. That's what we're going to do here today, tonight, this evening, this afternoon.
What is it?
Where tomorrow morning.
What's going on? F This Movie, I'm very thankful and appreciative to be part of another installment of F This Movie.
Yeah.
Since I've been gone, apparently there's been a theme song or not a theme song, because there's always been a theme song, but more of a jingle for F This Movie.
And it goes, why don't you sing it?
This movie.
That is haunting, but beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to F This Movie. Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. I gotta say that up front because I forget to say
it. Is there an F This Movie? I've asked this before. Is there an fthismovie@gmail.com?
I think so.
Okay, so an F This Movie podcast.
fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah. Email us. Tell us what you think of the show, if you're listening to the show.
If
you probably are
listening
to the show.
If you're a consistent listener.
If you're hearing this.
Right, absolutely.
Usually up front of F This Movie, I like to ask.
We like to give thanks for our nation and what it's done for us. Thank you, America.
Thank you. No, I like to ask a question, and I'm going to ask it now. Doug.
To whom?
Well, to
those
you.
Named Doug in the room.
Yeah, anyone.
I understand.
That's Doug.
Are we a little too manic right now? I'm looking at your levels of spiking.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right.
Let me ask you this question. Doug.
Yes.
Married anyone good lately?
F, marry, kill? Oh, no. Oh, yes, I did. Hey, check it out.
What is that sound? What? Oh, it's annoying.
I hope I'm not blowing your speaker out. Oh, that's my wedding ring.
Get
mother
out
truckers.
Of town.
No, I will not until we go on our honeymoon. In that case, I will go out of town.
So let me get this straight.
Yes.
The last time we recorded F This Movie together, you were not married.
No, I wasn't even engaged.
But now today we're recording F This Movie together.
I'm married.
You're married?
This is how things happen. I take risks. I see opportunities and I seize them.
Wow.
I see women and I grab them and I force them into my trunk.
That is
against
the law.
And then I marry them.
The law.
At gunpoint.
Whoa.
It's a shotgun wedding, but reverse the roles of the father, usually the shotgun on the groom. It's me with the shotgun on the bride. I married this girl at gunpoint. I forced her to say I do. And then I haven't heard her say anything since because she's actually in Las Vegas right now. But no, I am married.
Congratulations.
Doug is off the market.
Yeah.
Verdict listeners. If you're listening to this.
And DVD Verdict Presents listeners. By the way, thank you, DVD Verdict Presents, for carrying our show at this movie.
Yes. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Your sarcasm is coming across.
That wasn't sarcasm.
Oh.
It's shocking how honest I can be. Yes, I got married. Doug's off the market. Sorry, ladies. He's engaged. I mean, married. I now join Patrick, who's been married for 6 years this month.
Yeah.
July of 2010 will be 6 years.
Yeah.
And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
You've
That's
made it
all
work.
I was looking for. Somehow I wanted to bring it back to me.
You've made it work for most of the time.
1 week ago today, you were getting married.
It's my 1 week anniversary.
By the way, F This Movie listeners, I was the best man in the wedding.
He was. He gave the best man speech. He was the best witness.
All I did was F This Movie.
It was. It was weird because he just kept talking about Anchorman and Crash and Young Guns and The Rocketeer. I'm like, no one's even heard these shows.
No, that's
me
true.
Included. Sorry, I'm very
congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you very much. It was a great day. It was beautiful weather.
Yeah.
The bride looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
Down my scope, down the sight with the crosshairs on her forehead.
I like that you're not bailing on this.
I am not. No, the joke is that she was forced to marry me. I'm pregnant. It's happened. Anyway, so yeah, I got married and it's great. I'm very happy. I'm on cloud nine.
Do you feel different recording F This Movie as a married man? What's different about it?
What's different is that I'm constantly lugging strollers in my minivan to get to the podcast. I'm constantly complaining about taxes.
I noticed while we were watching the movie that we're going to F, you always wanted the clicker.
I did. I want the driver. I need to be in control of the moat. And I got it. And I turned the volume up because I can't hear things as well as I used to.
I just stood behind you and nagged.
You're such a nag. Well, you've been married longer, so you know what it's like. Because you've been married for 6 years. Two of the best years of your life.
What about the other four?
Pardon my zinger. Horrible years. Garbage years. Shit years.
Oh, because of all the other people in my life that passed away?
This is awkward all of a sudden. Hey, by the way, F This Movie is a parental disclaimer because I said the shit word.
You said the S-H-I-T word?
I did. I shit all over that word. It is. This is
a pay adult, F this movie.
It's an adult theme podcast. It always starts a little slow, but then we get rolling.
I have an idea. Why don't you F this movie?
Interesting. Interesting idea.
Maybe we should change F this movie to marry this movie. Now that you're all respectable,
I am. I'm like, I'm going to marry this movie. I like the movie so much. I'm going to marry it. All right. So F this movie. It's a great. It's a beautiful day in Chicago.
Yes.
For those of you not in Chicago, sorry, it's raining where you are.
Staying inside and watching movies.
That's right. It's too bright outside.
I'm effing them.
I've had to hang garbage bags over the windows because I am a hermit. Anyway, but no, it's great to be here. I'm married, and it's not all about me, though. For 6 minutes, it's been about me, but let's move on to something else.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, ask me this question.
Have you seen anything good lately?
Yes. I saw Toy Story 3, and I know you've talked about this on the podcast with John, the Wolfman
podcast. It's been covered.
It's been covered, but I will say, I have to say something. I saw Toy Story 3 with Shadia. It was my fiance, my wife.
Let me guess, your wife now. My fiance wife, at the time.
Absolutely. My fiance at the time's birthday. Wait, does that mean I have a new fiance?
Yeah. Let me guess what you're going to say about Toy Story
3. Okay, what do you want to say?
All right, here it is.
Go on.
My toys can talk and feel?
Why? Why was I programmed to feel pain? Okay, so I heard that you and John talked about Toy Story 3 on the last podcast. I saw Toy Story 3 on Shadia's birthday. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was wonderful and charming and funny and sad and really, really good. And I think it's, you know, kind of unfair that your comment on the podcast was something to the effect of Toy Story 3 was good. I liked Toy Story 1 and 2 better.
Mm-hmm.
And that may very well be the case. But I'm just wondering why you have to qualify your praise of Toy Story 3.
No, it wasn't.
By also just, you know, it's one thing to say, like, I understand it's in the pantheon of Toy Story Pixar movies, but Toy Story 3, it's 2010. Toy Story 2 came out in, what, 98? Toy Story 1 was, I want to say, 1964.
It was 1964.
Let it go. It's a new decade.
You're misquoting me.
I'm not misquoting you. I'm misquoting you.
I don't think I exactly said I didn't like it as much as Toy Story 1 and 2. Even though that's the truth. I think what I said was the things that I liked best about it
were done better.
Were done better in Toy Story 2.
That's still my
and
point.
I think that's
it's still
different.
Valid.
I
no,
think
I
that's
think
different because I think
you're
it's
different.
Not just, I like this movie, but it's not as good as other movies. That's a fucking douchey thing to say. But I, what I was saying,
you just dropped
I think,
the fuck bomb.
Was, I did. Don't listen, kids. Even though we're talking about Toy Story 3. Oh, missed messages.
What candy do you like the most while playing with your toys?
So my point was that even the things that I thought worked about it just felt a little bit repetitive. And I thought that Toy Story 2 had done them better and in some cases more economically. I thought that 90-second Sarah McLachlan montage in Toy Story 2 did a better job of the overall theme of all of Toy Story 3 in only 90 seconds.
Yeah, no, that was great. But I think that, you know, let's be honest, Toy Story 3 exists.
No,
and it's great.
I disagree.
Can't we just agree
it
to disagree?
It doesn't exist.
No, here's my
point. I refuse to see your point about it existing.
Here's my point.
It may very well be good if it were a real thing.
Well, this is a very...
It's not.
This is an existential Toy Story conversation. No, the point is this. I saw Toy Story 3. Yeah. I had some high expectations, obviously, based upon the fact
because
that Toy Story 1 and Toy
Story
2
really put you...
And also the reviews I heard that were just really, you know, glowing about this movie. I'm like, well, is it that good? And I really just was, like, totally enamored with it. I thought the scenes worked. Some things worked for me. Some things worked different for you. I know, for example, the parts about, like, him leaving the toys worked for me. Or there's another part, too. Oh, about the toys accepting their fate near the end.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give away too much in case you haven't seen Toy Story 3. Whereas the part for you, because you have a new son, newer son.
Yeah.
He's lost that new son smell, but he's still newer.
He's newer.
You were more touched by the part of
he's
the son.
He's gently used.
Of the son growing up. Yeah. That son on Craigslist could not command a premium, is what I'm saying, because he is gently used.
Believe me, I've tried.
Anyway, but I know that it worked differently for you than it worked for me. I've obviously had different experience in my life than you've had in yours, whatever.
Wait, back up.
I know. Anyway.
We just covered that we're both married. I feel like we had the same experience.
We share a brain. We're gay for one another. Anyway, so I thought that what worked well worked really, really well. And Toy Story 2, as you said, that one little montage with the Sarah McLachlan fan. But the thing is, I get that confused also when I see dogs that are injured and missing limbs and have no eyeballs and in the arms of an angel. I need to donate to the ASPCA because every time I fucking hear Sarah McLachlan, it's like, I need to change the channel so fast because because I don't want to be have my heart wrenched out of my chest because I feel so badly for a maimed kitten, is what I'm trying to say.
Stop making me feel bad for animals, you Canadian singer-songwriter.
I know, really. Maybe Canadian animals.
The difference...
Moose and whatnot.
That's the best you-can't-do-that-on-television joke I've ever made on this movie. I heard that.
I heard that. Water!
You saw... No, it works. Water just was poured on you. You saw Toy Story 3 in the third dimension, though, correct? Mm. Maybe that's the
difference. I paid extra
money. I saw it in only two dimensions.
Three dimensions, it got into my fourth dimension. The timeliness of my heart is what it broached. My point is that I saw it. It was good. I really liked it. And
yeah.
I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I just...
I'm not even ripping on it, because...
No, I know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I just want to make it clear that, like, to hold it to the standard of other movies is fine, but I still think that if you are having doubts, it's great. It's a really wonderful movie, I think this way so much that it led me the next day to post on my Facebook. You know how it's, you know, like, legitimate that I posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
I said, Pixar is the only fucking company that can make good movies because, except for Cars, I suppose.
They have quite the track record.
They really
Cars
do.
Is not great.
It's just, I put on Ratatouille last night, too, and I was like, damn, this movie is so good. Anyway.
They're pretty unbelievable.
So I saw Toy Story 3. I saw half of Ratatouille before I fell asleep on the sofa. My wife's in Vegas.
Mm.
And I also saw Stop Loss. Not very good.
We're so cool because, like, ooh, the wife's away.
The
house
mice
to putting on a cartoon. Falling asleep before it's over.
I had my chips. I've got my snacks. I've got my vitamin
Stop
water.
Loss you did not like.
I am a big fan of war movies. If you've listened to me talk before, which I assume you have, you'll know I've made comments. I love war movies. It's the thing that I respond to mostly, weirdly enough, because I'm not strong or warrior-like at all. But I heard about this movie, and I recorded it on the DVR. I saw it on Epics 2, and it was not very good. And, of course, I also say this because I had just seen recently Generation Kill on DVD or on Blu-ray. I recently rewatched Band of Brothers and, of course, Pacific. I'm not a huge fan of Pacific, but I still acknowledge it's great. And I saw Stop Loss, and I'm just kind of like, oh, this just feels just cheaper and, you know, the action sequences just seem played out. I don't know. I saw that, too. So those are the things
I've
seen.
Did you accidentally watch G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra?
I did catch part of it.
Because that's not Stop Loss. You know that those are two different movies, right?
Wait, what?
Exactly.
Which one has Destro in it?
Stop Loss.
Stop Loss has Lady Jane, if I'm not mistaken.
There are Channing Tatum is in both, as is Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Which one has Man in Arms? Or Man of Arms? What is it?
I think it's Man at Arms. No.
Man at Arms. Which one has Orko?
Man at Arms? That's
Orko. Which one
Orko is in The Godfather Part 2.
Oh, interesting. Because I do like that movie.
This was the point I was going to make about Toy Story, though. When people talk about, like, The Godfather Part 2, it's always sort of in relation to The Godfather.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Like, I like it better. It's not as good. And so that's a high compliment with Toy Story because you're comparing it to other movies that are as good or better, which I guess you're always doing. or worse. With any movie, really.
But
what
I will
was
say.
Orko.
I will say,
dick.
I like Godfather more than Godfather 2. Godfather 2 seems very
I do
long
as well.
To me.
I do as well.
Where Godfather seems much like a much simpler story, if you.
I think we're going to get angry emails to fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
For real?
No, we don't really get emails at fthismoviepodcast.
But I heard you got an email from Jen Jennifer Susan.
Yeah, we did.
I missed
that podcast. It was about Love Actually and Laura Linney's boobs. Yeah.
I loved Laura Linney's boobs in insert the other I can't remember the movie that she got naked in.
Wasn't it Love Actually?
No, there's another movie.
She got naked in another movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Stop it, Laura Linney.
I know.
Stop it.
With your booby chimes.
Oh, you're thinking of Congo. A movie I saw in the theater.
Anyway, so what have you seen lately?
Oh, what haven't I seen?
Well, you haven't seen Stop Loss lately.
Not lately, but I did see it.
You probably haven't seen The Relic in recent years.
Actually, I have. I totally have. I put it on.
I haven't seen Original Sin
had
in
to be
recent
done.
Years.
No, that's actually true. Yesterday, I saw Predators, which is the sequel to Predator and Predator 2, also Alien vs. Predator and Alien vs. Predator Requiem. Which I didn't see, but I saw Alien vs. Predator, and I fucking hate it. Predators is pretty great for a movie that's about predators. It's one of my favorite movie about predators.
Okay, I have not seen Predators, and I don't know too much about the... I saw Predator, the original one.
Yeah.
I think I might have even seen the one where he's in New York with Danny Glover.
It's Los Angeles.
What?
Predator 2.
I just see a skyscraper and I automatically think the Big Apple.
Well, it's Los Angeles in the future, I think like 1997.
Nice.
So
Mr. Glover and
thank
LA,
God we survived that.
And he's in the city. I've seen that. I've seen the original one.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you need to see. Is it kind of like an Alien versus Aliens, where Aliens is just like it's got more aliens, or is it what's the rub?
Yeah, I mean the difference is that there are more predators, but it's not like crazy amounts of predators.
Okay.
Which I could have gone for, but it's not so different. Like I think Aliens versus Alien is vastly different because they're two such totally different approaches.
One's like horror versus one's action.
One's right, a combat movie. So they're not different in that way. Because they're both essentially just people running around the jungle trying not to be killed.
Do you think that's what they were going for by naming it Predators?
I do think that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think Robert Rodriguez, who sort of came up with the idea, if you're going to call it that, I have an idea to add an S to a movie I like. That's obviously what his inspiration was, you know.
Have you heard of my recent idea for a movie? Cabin Fevers.
That's pretty good. I was thinking of RoboCops. So Predators is great. It's exactly what you want it to be. I enjoyed it a lot. And this morning I saw Cyrus.
Oh, how was that? Where'd you see it?
At the AMC theater near my house.
Oh, it's wide release now, huh?
I guess, yeah. It's good. It's not great. It's like very much sort of an indie version of like a Ben Stiller movie where there's misunderstandings and characters have secret motivations and people could clear things up if they were willing to talk to each other.
You mean like a Ben Stiller movie, like Meet the Fockers?
Correct.
Or Little Fockers.
Little Fockers, yeah.
But not like Greenberg, because that's not like a Ben Stiller movie.
Correct.
He's in that.
Yeah, no, more of a Ben Stiller movie where there's misunderstandings and he's frustrated. So this movie sometimes comes dangerously close to being that, but it sort of stays grounded because all of the characters are actually believable, and I like that John C. Reilly, pretty much at every opportunity, behaves like a real human being and says what you think a person would say, even when it's not like 100% the truth. You understand why he's holding back or being dishonest or whatever, you know. So all that stuff works. I just could have done without the whole like undermining son plot.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I like the love story between them. I didn't even mind, like, oh, she's too close with her son, Cyrus. That's all fine. But, like, the whole undermining thing was not my favorite. But I did like the movie. It was good.
Okay. I haven't seen it, so I'm going to take the opposite track. It was bad.
Yeah, no.
It was a really bad movie that I didn't see.
You know what I am excited to see, though, is Cyrus's.
The sequel to Cyrus.
Yeah.
I understand.
There are so many Jonah Hills in Cyrus's. What movie are we effing today? You made mention of
it. I did.
We blew right past it.
No, I segued too soon.
I had to talk about RoboCops.
You still absolutely had to talk about that. And also
talk about... Great name for a movie, RoboCops. Putting it out there.
I like it. Detroit still needs a hero. So the movie that we effed, or are effing right now, is Cabin Fever.
Yes.
It's Eli Roth's Cabin Fever, which is a movie that came out when, Patrick?
2003, I think, is when it came out.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's directed by who, Patrick?
Cabin Fever.
Oh, interesting. Yes. The eponymous director known as Cabin Fever.
My name's Cabin Fever. What should I call my picture?
This is a Spike Lee joint.
I don't know. Spike Lee movies should just be called Spike Lee movies.
I agree. Yoda. Anyway, so we watched
Fever, 2003.
Here's the interesting thing. We also did this
Cabin Fever
with Anchorman.
Yeah.
Is that we watched the movie directly before recording this podcast. So it's fresh.
So right before we recorded the Cabin Fever podcast, we watched Anchorman.
Wait, isn't it still on right now? Hold on. Hold on.
Here's the funny part. Anchorman.
Hold on.
Anchorman drank poison water. Now he has a flesh-eating disease.
Anchorman spitting blood all over the Jeep.
So Nick K.
Sorry, Bronco.
Wrote in.
Sorry, Blazer.
Carcast. F this automobile.
What's your problem?
A listener named Nick K. wrote in and said we should F Cabin Fever. And
cabin
I said,
fever.
You better believe it, we'll F Cabin Fever. So now we're effing Cabin Fever.
We realize Cabin Fever is not a movie that's very well. It's not. Well, it's. Patrick, you want to help me with this?
I don't know how many people love Cabin Fever.
Or even know about Cabin Fever,
yeah.
I guess.
I mean, horror movie people do.
I think that people. And especially now in 2010. When this movie came out in 2003, it's obviously there's been a few years between now and then, and it's not. Eli Roth has gone on to do I guess, bigger things in terms of Hostel and his appearance as an actor in Inglourious Basterds, but he is not, I don't know, he's not like, he hasn't really blown up.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't lit the world on fire. But I don't know how much he wants to. Like, I think he's pretty content to be, like, a horror filmmaker.
Yeah, well, you're right.
I don't know that he's looking to make For Love of the Game, Sam Raimi style. So Cabin Fever from 2003, group of kids go to a cabin. And
do you want to know their names?
They get sick. They're
Jeff, Karen, Paul, Marcy, and Bert.
Those are on the back of the DVD.
Please, I watched it too.
When I applied to be a writer at DVD Verdict at DVDverdict.com back in 2004, they asked for a sample review.
Boring!
Thank you. And my sample review was on Cabin Fever. That's what got me the gig. And I think like every fifth line was just, God damn it, I love Cabin Fever. Because I do love Cabin Fever, and I recognize that Cabin Fever is flawed. But here's what I love about Cabin Fever. Let me jump right into it.
Jump right into it. Please say Cabin and Fever.
Cabin Fever.
Nice.
It is the kind of horror movie that I like a lot, and the only other horror movie I can think of that does this as well, or probably even better, is Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, where it's funny and horrifying sort of often in the same scene at the same time. There's like Evil Dead 2, right? Is very funny and there's horror shit going on. There's eyeballs flying and monsters and there's blood everywhere, but like it's essentially a comedy. There's nothing that's ever that scary or disturbing about
it. It's like Dead Alive,
Evil Dead 2. Yeah, even Dead Alive is a stronger example, but like Cabin Fever.
Isn't Evil Dead 2 just a remake of Evil Dead that's like.
Yeah, basically.
That's just is funnier and maybe a little more money thrown at it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
But whereas I've Cabin Fever kind of is doing both at the same time, and it's a very weird tone, and I understand why it puts a lot of people off. But again, if you are a horror movie fan, as I am, I really like it a lot.
You say horror? I think it's horrible movie fan. You're a horrible movie fan. You treat movies with no respect. You are a horrible movie fan. Cabin Fever is great. I saw this on DVD many moons ago, and I really, really liked it when I first saw it, because I think, like you said, it's funny and it's not scary per se, but there's like horror elements going on.
There's some stuff that's kind of unsettling, I would say.
Yeah, that's a better way to put that. And it just, it really works for me. And I think I even mentioned right before we watched it today, I think part of what I like about it too is that there's no, while there are people who are infected, because the plot of the movie is that there's some infection. If you want, do you actually want to talk about that?
They get a weird skin flesh-eating virus.
Are we to assume that it makes them kind of crazy also? That it
I don't
them?
Think so. I mean, I don't know. Does anybody act crazy? Well, this is sort of to your point. Finish your point.
My point simply is that I think that a lot of horror movies out there, you know, I think most of them have some sort of villain. And I think that goes back to the early days of horror movies. And I'm not a horror movie expert by any means, or even a film cricket, because I don't know what that word means. But I really like these movies, and I'm just a movie fan, not even a film fan, but a movie fan. And I like this movie a lot because there is no villain per se. There's just something, there's like a fever, a cabin fever.
Whoa!
That there's some disease that is going around and is infecting, and these people turn on each other. But there's no kind of, they're not like, you know, like holding up in this cabin and fighting off of an enemy until the very end, in which there is sort of some sort of like the townspeople turn on them. And
yeah, stuff kind of goes crazy at the end. But yeah, that's one of the things I like about the movie. And while it's never said that, I don't think it's the disease that causes anybody to go crazy. I think it's just like this crazy survival instinct that kicks in that causes them to do horrible things. And that's one of the things I like about the movie too, is that, and obviously, Cabin Fever, not the first movie to sort of address this issue.
No, in fact,
to what extent will you go? You know, what would you do to survive? Would you be willing to hurt other people, kill other people if need be?
I think Eli Roth would be the first to admit that this movie is nothing. It's not original per se. It's not, I keep saying per se also. Fuck me. Fuck me in the ass. Sorry. I keep saying per se. Eli Roth would admit that.
Fuck me in the ass per se.
It's not, he's not the first one to have these ideas and to kind of introduce these concepts.
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of.
Oh yeah. It's a pastiche.
A pastiche, if you will.
Of everything. And you point out, obviously, there's a scene in which he focuses on Serena Vincent's ass. And it's an homage to
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Absolutely. So he's, you know,
the
obviously cribbing
House on the Left
and borrowing notes and ideas and concepts from things. And he's making this movie, which is wholly original in its own way, but obviously borrows from everywhere else.
Right.
And that's great also.
I got the impression there's a lot of things in the movie that still bother me and don't work. And obviously the easiest one to point to, aside from that joke that ends the movie, with the guy who runs the shop, whatever. I won't give it away, but it's terrible.
Where the African Americans come in there, correct. And it's like, he's not a racist. He's actually like,
it's just a punchline.
I'm going to go there, but you said, I'm not going to go there. And I just like, totally, I ruined it for
it's
you.
It's the Dennis, the little kid on the porch with like the mullet and the bangs that he cut himself. And he does like weird karate kicks
in slow motion.
And he says pancakes and he bites people on the hand. And there's weird shit like that throughout the movie. And I get the impression sometimes Eli Roth, I believe the story goes, wrote this movie while working as a production assistant on the set of Private Parts, where his job was to like sit outside Howard Stern's room at night. And he was like security sort of.
Right.
And
making sure no one disturbed Howard Stern while he slept.
Right. And he would sit on a chair outside the room and write Cabin Fever, which is just fucking fascinating. Cause years later he was a guest on the Howard Stern show as somebody who had made it, you know?
Right.
And I get the feeling watching it that like there's all these things that he wanted to throw into a movie, any movie, whether they fit or not. And so he threw a lot of them into this movie. So there's these weird disjointed elements like
the bunny.
The bunny is another great example.
Yeah, Ryder Strong is being gurneyed through a hospital and he peeks into an operating room. There's a giant bunny that's getting surgery.
And that's it. It's just this one shot. And it's effective, especially I remember that shot from being in the trailer. And it's effective to the extent that you're like, oh, what the fuck is going on? Or like that weird feeling that you get. I don't know about you. When I was young, sometimes I would fall asleep with the TV on and I would wake up and it would be like a horror movie on HBO. And I would just get like one image that would freak me the fuck out. Like a little wooden boy about to kill somebody. Like, I don't know what this is. I have to turn it off before I never sleep again.
We didn't have cable television.
Oh, I forgot. So
sorry about that.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, the bunny works like that.
Cemetery.
So he seems to just be wanting to, though, don't talk. Why would you mention it? He seems to just want to throw everything in. And some of it I think is very heavily borrowed from David Lynch, who he worked for a while, and even borrows his composer who does some of the music in the movie. Some of the music in the movie is awesome. And that's probably the stuff that Angelo Badalamenti did, who's David Lynch's composer, but he's definitely
nerd alert.
He's definitely ripping off.
By the way,
Lynch at times.
Your last podcast, you should call that nerd alert because the Wolfman, so academic, so nerdy,
very nerdy.
I did listen to it and I learned a lot.
Did
from
you become
and John.
A nerd afterwards?
I learned a lot, and I learned a lot about the wolf.
What are you learning
and
in
the
this
man.
One about Cabin Fever?
Nothing.
Nothing.
At all. I'm learning except Andrew Baltimore, whatever his name
did
was.
You
nerd alert. Sorry, that's all I want to say. Wolfman was very interesting, but nerdy.
And not a very good movie. Did you feel watching this, watching it this time? I mean, he's obviously doing something very specific where he's taking these typical dipshit teen movie characters that like sort of think that they're in a spring break sex comedy. And that's sort of how they talk and how they interact.
Right.
And that's the first maybe half hour of the movie. And then obviously shit starts to go bad. And then it's like, how do these shitty, dumb characters react in the situation? Which is interesting.
Even the hero who's kind of like just a doofus, you know,
He's the ducky, you know, he's like the guy who's in love with the girl.
And
forever.
That's the, like I said, the first half hour is just him kind of pining for Jordan Ladd's character.
Right.
And it's like, you know, they're on this swim platform, which reminds me of what's that movie? That
Creepshow 2.
Creepshow 2. Thank you. Or the thing. Every time I see a swim platform in the middle of some abandoned lake.
It's Creepshow 2.
I think Creepshow 2.
Absolutely.
I'm not kidding, by the way. That's not even like,
Creepshow 2 is terrible, but that's the only good thing about Creepshow 2.
Yeah, the thing that, the moss that takes
which
over.
Which I feel like they should have called Creepshows. Don't confuse the moss. That's Creepshow 1.
Wait, what? No, it's
the moss that takes over Stephen King is Creepshow. The raft is like a big, almost like a tar mass floating on
the
water.
Oh, that's what I think I meant. Yeah, not moss.
You said moss.
I did say moss, but I remember just something enveloping.
Death of Geordi something from Creepshow.
LaForge?
I think it's Geordi LaForge.
The only Geordi I recognize. Sorry.
LeVar Burton.
If I talked about the other podcast being nerdy, I take it back.
Geordi LaForge.
Well, watching the movie.
Green Rainbow.
Sorry.
Watching Cabin Fever today.
Yes.
All the shit that I'm talking about with, like, the bad teen movie dialogue and even the performances, I started to think Eli Roth pulled a Paul Verhoeven.
Okay.
And almost, like, these actors didn't know
Quite possibly.
Specifically, exactly yeah. what kind of movie they're in, because sometimes it feels like you're watching kids in high school play.
Right. Specifically Starship Troopers. Because Showgirls, obviously we talked about this too in Showgirls, but like, yeah, there's the actors are just like, they're smiling so much and just so
right.
earnest.
They don't totally understand why they're being used the way they are.
Right.
And maybe that's not true, but I felt like that today, because I felt like a lot of this is bad in a way that I think is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think these actors are capable of doing that on purpose.
Mm.
And I don't mean to sell Ryder Strong shorts.
Well, as an actor, he's trying his hardest. Do you want to?
I brought in a guest to talk about Ryder Strong, actually. One William Daniel.
Oh, welcome, Mr. Daniel. I love your work on Kit.
I was hoping Doug was going to do a William Daniel impression.
Mr. Feeney? He's Mr. Feeney. Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay, so Ryder Strong was an actor.
He was on Boy Meets World.
He was on the TV show Boy Meets World. What was it? What channel was that TV show on?
That was on ABC.
Was it like on primetime?
Yeah, I think like
That's
Friday
crazy.
Nights.
That, it blows my mind.
You think it's a show that only existed in syndication?
Absolutely.
It was on Friday nights on ABC.
Definitely blows my mind that this TV show, Boy Meets World, starring a young Ben Savage and Ryder Strong, is like...
Young Danielle Fischel.
And then it was like on... Oh, and I used to love her so much. Yeah. Danielle Fischel? Fischel?
I don't know.
Now she hosts...
Something on Style
soup?
Network? Yeah.
Something
like
that.
Fashion
it's
like Soup.
Fashion Soup.
I don't know what it's called, but she is a reflection
from
in a car
soup
door.
To nuts.
If she was only a foot taller, everything about her body would make sense.
She is. Say again, I feel like I stepped
That's
on
okay.
Your...
I said she's a reflection in a car
that
door.
Is, I love that very much. I love that description very much. She also could be her own garbage pail kid, I think. But no, she's a cutie, I guess.
Yeah.
I would take Chris Hardwick over her, by the way.
Boy Meets
of
World.
Of the soup
yes.
host.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, so Boy Meets World was a TV show, and Ryder Strong was in it. And he's, I don't know, I think he thinks he's, and I'm sure he's recognized for being that character. I'm
yeah.
sure he's, you know, still kind of goes to, as we talked about during watching the movie today, do we still think, the question was posed, do you still think that Ryder Strong gets some residual residual pussy from playing this character, this dreamboat on Boy Meets World. And I guarantee it because he hasn't really done too much else.
Right.
If I'm not, I mean,
Cabin Fever.
Oh, which brings us back to Cabin Fever. anyway, so yeah, Ryder Strong's
in
it.
Cabin Fever might have been his attempt to sort of branch out
right.
and do something more adult. And it's an interesting bit of casting, particularly if you know him from Boy Meets World, just because he brings some of that baggage with him. And he's sort of this child star put in situations as the movie progresses that you don't expect him to be put in,
mm-hmm.
and he does things that you don't expect him to do.
Like what, Patrick?
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but things get...
What the fuck? If you're listening to a Cabin Fever
I'm
podcast,
just saying, well,
you better fucking watch Cabin Fever before you turn press play, little boy.
By the way, if you're a little boy, don't listen to this Cabin Fever podcast.
This is horrible. This is the most
rated R movie. I know we talked about Toy Story 3, okay? And you thought, this is age appropriate.
Absolutely.
This is the podcast for me. But it's not. It says F in the title, which implies a swear word.
Absolutely. Unless F means fun.
Fun oh, this movie.
Fun this movie. Friend this movie.
Friend. Oh, that could be it.
Facebook.
It's complicated. Said Facebook.
Anyway,
by the way, you can become a friend of this movie on
you
Facebook.
You can, absolutely. You should start putting that in the introduction, too, to say, like, email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
Or be our friend on Facebook.
Although, yeah, it's not even fanning. It's like you can like F This Movie on Facebook. Because Facebook needs to change everything.
Like us on Facebook. Especially
please.
For this Cabin Fever podcast.
No, seriously, please like us. Please.
Now, after
likes.
Cabin Fever, which I'm not saying we're done talking about Cabin Fever.
No, there's still so much to talk
there's,
about.
I mean, there's just so much to talk
Cabin
about.
Cabin Fever is good.
That's
actually all I have to say about
yeah,
Cabin Fever.
It is good. It's a good horror movie that I think is underappreciated.
I have good boots.
I think people write it off because they don't like the tone, and I think they don't like... those weird things like Dennis and pancakes and all that. It's like, what is this movie? Somebody described it to me once as the stupidest movie they had ever seen.
Really?
And that's fine, but like they kind of didn't get it. And I'm not saying if they did get it, that they would have liked it.
Okay.
They could still dislike
it. I'm going to jump into this right now. Okay. The movie is good. The movie is enjoyable and entertaining and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And all those things aside, like, yeah, right. Dennis with the bangs. I just have to assume that Eli Roth saw him at some you know, in some Craigslist ad or on some YouTube video. It's like, I got to cast this kid and whatever. And like you said, maybe he's just like, he's making his movie. He's thrown everything at the screen that he possibly can think of. But like, okay, put that aside. It's still like a really like, it's well constructed. It's got a great arc. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's, there's parts that are like frightening. Like when there's little scares, there's little things. It's funny. the soundtrack kicks fucking ass. No. it's just like a really fun movie that, I don't know, like it's, I wish that there were more movies like this made, because I think everything that's made in that horror vein has to be either a huge blockbuster or has to star somebody or has to be so like, and I think I think I like this movie more because it came out at a time when most horror movies out there were that Ring variety.
Yes.
Where it's definitely. Like we've got this new wave of Japanese horror cinema.
Right.
Like The Ring and I can't think of other name. Please
the
help
Grudge.
Me. The Grudge. Is that the one with the hand and the hair? The
yes.
Grudge. Yeah. The Ring, The Grudge, The Ring 2. But these movies that people love and that there's like, you know, these kind of bizarre supernatural things.
Right.
And this movie has none of that. It's just a basic throwback to an 80s
right.
Horror movie, which yeah. you gotta, if you take it at that level, I think that you'll really enjoy it.
Definitely. It's a horror movie that's not necessarily pitched at like mass audiences of teenagers, which a lot of right. horror movies are pitched at, particularly now that there's sort of a lot of them are coming out like PG-13.
And I would still argue that this movie would have definitely appealed to teenagers.
Yeah, if they would give it a chance. But
right. It is R though too, and it's a hard R. There's nudity and there's yeah, lots of F-bombs.
Which is, again, something that you have to appreciate, that Eli Roth says, like, no, this is what a horror movie should be.
But yeah, it's the anti-Saw in that respect.
Right. He's a very sort of tried and true horror fan and isn't embarrassed to be making a horror movie.
Right.
And sometimes you get the impression that the people making horror movies
they're
are
slummy.
Sort of, right. Yeah. Or they're music video directors and they're using it as an excuse to show some style, but they don't actually give a shit about the horror elements or any of the content.
Or even the history.
And he obviously does. And it's surprising, too, that it got sort of a wide release, because I feel like most horror movies that aren't about, like, a killer
yeah.
rarely get a wide release, nowadays especially. And I think he had a... It took him a long time to actually get the movie made, because prior to Scream, everybody said, well, horror's dead. And then when Scream came out, it wasn't enough like Scream, you know? It wasn't about a guy killing people.
Right.
It was this...
And it wasn't entirely self-referential
right.
on the nose. It was. I mean, there's a lot right. of like, you know, if you right. get horror movies, you get a lot of the jokes and stuff right. inside this movie. But it's like Scream is so obvious and it's shoe obvious. It is just, you know, everything is just like... Here's the joke, and I'm going to explain the joke to you, and right. I'm going to leave the room, and I'll be right back. And
what?
I
still That's actually, what you're just saying. Don't do that.
I still like Scream.
I do, too, actually. I can't wait for Scream 4, or can I?
I can't wait for Scary Movie 8.
So after Cabin Fever was a modest hit and sort of made a name for Eli Roth, he went on to make a movie called The Hostel. And now, Doug, you're a big fan of The Hostel, yes?
I do... Like Hostel, yes. I'm sorry. I do like The Hostel, yes. I saw this movie, and I kind of was not looking forward to it, mm-hmm. even though I knew Eli Roth made it, and I knew Eli Roth. I liked Cabin Fever. I also know Eli Roth is a friend of Quentin Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino. I know Eli Roth is a decent director, and this movie, I don't know, for whatever reason, this movie just didn't appeal to me. I think it was just because it looked more like a Saw-type
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, the premise like, was kind of awful.
Yeah, it just looks like we're going to torture people on
right.
screen, which...
Right.
You know, I love horror movies. I don't like just right. needless, kind
right.
of like pointless stuff like that.
Right.
So when I saw previews for this, I'm just thinking, oh, and the previews definitely played that stuff up because, again, in the era of Saw, it's like that's what's going to put butts in the seats, especially like my 15-year-old niece. But yeah, so I saw this movie and I was pleasantly surprised because it did a lot of good things. I think that the whole introduction and how they get to the hostel in Slovenia or Slovakia, I think it's Slovakia, Bratislava, Slovakia, I think.
I don't understand anything.
But they start off in Amsterdam and they kind of travel there. And it's
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
They start off in Baltimore. Selling legal drugs under the care of Lieutenant Bunny Colvin.
Nice. Detective McNulty. anyway.
It's an awesome Daniels.
So I liked it a lot. And there are parts in the movie that I'm not crazy about, like the torturous parts
yeah.
and those things. But I think that it's just a really well done, again, it's a testament, and you said before, Eli Roth just gets it. He understands horror movies
right.
and whatever else. And so he made Hostel, and I liked it. I liked it a lot more also, and I think a lot of you out there could probably know what I'm talking about, because I liked it a lot more just because also I thought I wouldn't like it. So
yeah,
I even
right.
liked it just that
right.
much more
right.
because I'm like, wow, I did not expect
right.
to like this. And I'm going to even now sell this as a movie that people should see.
Well, it's better. It's not what people think it's going to be, I think. You know, it shows more restraint than people think it's going to. I think it's smarter than people thought it was going to be. There was only maybe one or two instances where I thought, well, that's taking it too far, where he really pushes the gore. And I know that's something that a lot of horror fans want. I tend to not be that way.
You know what movie doesn't have the what makes Hostel work? You know what movie doesn't have those elements?
Hostel Part 2.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Because he took the, in my opinion, and I think maybe in your opinion too, I don't want to speak for you, but I think he took a lot of the stuff that didn't make, what makes Hostel more of a special kind of smarter, more interesting movie in Hostel 2 is completely gone.
Yeah, it's seems to have learned a lot of the wrong lessons in Hostel 2.
It's more gore. It's more torture. Right. It's more elaborate setups. It's like a Final Destination 4 where all of a sudden it's like, well, we can't just kill this person. We have to think of this elaborate way in which to hang them upside down and sit there and bathe in their blood.
Although I did watch Hostel Part 2 again and liked it more.
Okay.
Knowing what to expect a little bit more, you know?
We just want to see Wiener Dog's boobs.
Absolutely. I can't think of a good Welcome to the Dollhouse joke that doesn't involve, like, I'm going to rape you. But I didn't want to make that joke, so...
I'm going to F you. I'm going to F this movie.
Boobs. Yeah, I don't love Hostel Part 2, and Eli Roth hasn't made a movie ever since, and I know there was... You know, I think people are kind of put off by Eli Roth as a person because he's so talkative and he's sort of...
He's manic.
Yeah, and has sort of like tried to
just
turn
like
himself
right
into a brand name, and some people maybe feel like he hasn't earned that yet. And he kind of spoke out that the Hostel Part 2 failed financially. It didn't really. I mean, ultimately, I think it made a boatload of money, especially on DVD sales. But like, the first Hostel opened up at number one with like 20 million. Now, it came out in January when there is not shit out. And Hostel Part 2, which had way a bigger budget and more publicity, came out in like June or July when there's a shitload of movies out. And it only opened with like 8 million. So all of a sudden, and he was blaming that on illegal downloads.
Oh.
And I'm not sure that's the case. I think he made an inferior product and opened it at the wrong time of year.
Yeah.
But that's me.
I think that maybe, I don't know, I'm sure that illegal downloads don't help.
No,
but
of course
why
not.
Are you just blaming...
Right.
Hostel Part 2 is not as good as Hostel 1, or the first Hostel. It's just, it's not. And it's, I also think this, I don't want to talk about like the music industry, but I love when they're saying like, oh, album sales are down and downloads are down and like, I'm sorry, legal downloads are down because obviously illegally people on LimeWire or BitTorrent or whatever the sites may be can still access and download all this music. But the industry will say, oh, you know, everything is down and it's because of this illegal stuff. And that's true, but I still think that the product has become so horrible.
Right.
And again, I'm a bitter 31-year-old music file. I used to be a huge music fan. I haven't found anything lately that I love, like music-wise. And I think that if you put out products that are good and really back the right stuff and not just Justin Bieber and Pussycat Doll bullshit, and there's a place for that. I mean, you can still have that stuff coexist with other things, but like, why does the other, why does Justin Bieber have to be the only thing? Why does Lady Gaga, who I actually kind of like, have to be the only thing out there that is visible? If I log onto the iTunes store, that's all I see, you know?
And the movie industry is almost starting to go the same way as evidenced by this summer where it's just, I don't know. I mean, we were just talking about last summer was so strong. Last year in general was so strong. And this year has been so bad. And it feels like every movie that's coming out is the movie equivalent of Justin Bieber, where it's just a remake or a sequel, or it's based on an existing property. And it's just, we are just out of ideas.
Yeah, no, it's like Dear John to Paris with Love and or whatever. It's just all these movies that just, I'm sure they're, you've seen them all before.
Right.
And there's not even like to say that they're horrible, but it's just like, it's so just vanilla and just, you know, there's nothing. But again, like we're not, I think that we've honestly, and I, you know, I said before I'm 31, Patrick is 39, 38,
45, actually
58, that we're not in the demo. We're not in the demographic that appeals to people, even though you go see, you still pay a lot of money to go see movies. Like the demographic is high school kids and you know, they want to see, what's her name in Dear John? They don't want to see what's her name in Chloe. You know?
Right, but hasn't that always sort of been the case?
No, I mean, absolutely.
Movies have always been targeted.
I'm just saying what we are saying, we're becoming the bitter adult and that we're now above and beyond that and we don't appreciate the fact that there's not enough stuff for us to watch.
I guess, but I just feel like the quality has gotten...
No, you're right.
Because even when movies were pitched at that group, you know, 10 years ago, they were better. So even if you weren't in that group, you could still find something to like.
That's, I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
10 years ago, what came out in 2000?
Oh, 2000 was a great year. Almost Famous?
Yeah, but what was cast specifically towards them?
Almost Famous.
DMOC?
I don't know.
That was 90. Yeah. 98.
Yeah. Dead Man on Campus, for those of you who aren't super versed in Doug. DMOC is Dead Man on Campus.
That's right. I'm a douche. I own that shit. I mean, I own being a douche. I also own DMOC.
What's up with Cabin Fever?
Anyway, Cabin Fever. I want to get back to what you said before about something about how the movie itself is, and this is kind of getting a little more academic about the movie, but it kind of, nerd alert, it becomes this examination of what happens in these extreme circumstances where a sick man shows up at your cabin and you kind of respond to it. And you said before how quickly you turn to violence and turn to shunning people and turn to self-preservation.
Locking people up in a shed.
Absolutely. But I also think
with a shovel.
I made a comment during the movie also, and I think that I made a comment about this while watching Lost, the TV show Lost, the now canceled, the now ended TV show Lost, where I think I was always kind of blown away by how easily characters on Lost, like Dr. Jack Shepard and et cetera, and Sawyer.
James Ford.
That
Kate.
Kate
Sawyer.
Gosling.
Kate, what the fuck?
Blanchett.
What was Kate's last name?
Spade.
I feel embarrassed.
No, I have forgotten so much of that show. Anyway, so on Lost, a good, decent, sound TV show. So on the TV show Lost, I was always amazed at how quickly these characters, who are seemingly normal people, although we know, we realize that they're not later on or whatever, but how quickly they turn to violence or grab a gun and threaten to kill people and threaten to shoot people. And I realized if I was in those situations, if I was on an island and there's crazy things happening, I might
and
also...
And a gun nearby.
Right. I might also become more inclined to be that type of person. But I think the transition is not so easy. It's not so simple to become a normal person to a violent person. But I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't understand. But I also think that in talking about that and Lost and going back to Cabin Fever, I'm always amazed at how quickly they grab a gun and start shooting people or shooting even warning shots like, get away from me. And they're freaked out or whatever. And they have a baseball bat and they're lighting people on fire. And it's just become this, you know, whatever. Anyway, but I do think it's interesting how quickly they kind of, and maybe part of it also is not just self-preservation, but like they're in this crazy foreign environment. They're in the middle of nowhere. They have no access to a phone, no TV, it looks like.
Right.
You know, they never watch the news. There's no connection to the outside world, so they even go more extreme in that respect.
And I like that that's sort of one of the aspects, and it's not one that is necessarily right there on the surface, but that's one of the more horrifying aspects of the movie. On the surface, there's obviously this flesh-eating virus that makes people look all fucked up and they're coughing up blood and bad things are happening. And so that's horrifying on its own. But when you look beneath that, that what's really horrifying is, again, what they do to each other. And, as a, you know, I think the most obvious example is that whole scene where they put Jordan Ladd in the fucking shed, just like that they're willing to do that. And it's, you know, in the name of their own survival or whatever.
Well, I think at the end, there's something I think we all realized is that we were them.
Well,
and they're us.
Whoa.
I know.
I don't even have a mind anymore. It's been blown.
My mind just exploded.
You said something a while ago. Oh, sickening.
Sorry, screen.
You said something a while ago that I think is totally true, and it actually reminded me of something I wrote in that sample review when I did Cabin Fever. You said, well, Eli Roth gets it. And that's definitely something that I think is true of this movie, because one of the things that you talk about when you talk about the horror movies that you really love is specific moments. I mean, you can talk about like, oh, it scared me
on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, right. Ooh, it was creepy or whatever. But like the ones that are really fucking awesome, you talk about specific moments, whether it's, oh, that fucking clown in Poltergeist.
Oh yeah.
Or when the guy gets his shoulder bit in the original Dawn of the Dead, or even the girl with the trowel. What do you call it? A trowel in the original Night of the Living Dead?
I don't know.
Where she's fucking hacking her mom up?
I forgot what
it's
she uses.
It's a garden tool, and she hacks it. It's shit like that. And Eli Roth gets that because this movie has a bunch of those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's little set pieces, and obviously, you know, Serena Vincent shaving her legs as they're scabbing and bleeding
right.
is a great example because it's so horrifying to look at, and it's you just the sound is awful, and you picture. But I also like what's going on in that scene, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, because Serena Vincent is not a great character, nor is she particularly well performed. But by Serena Vincent playing herself. Their name is not Serena Vincent in the movie. I like that she's shaving her legs even though they're all fucked up and bloody, yeah. and she sees that, she's still doing it.
Right.
Because, and again, it reminds me of the original Dawn of the Dead. There's this scene, they've been holed up in the mall for months and months, and they go to, like, a bank to, I forget why, it's been a while since I've seen it, but they walk through all the velvet ropes. And it's this great touch, because, like, civilization is over, yet somehow we're still conditioned. This is what we know.
Right, right, absolutely.
And she's shaving her legs, because all she has is her appearance.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter that she's falling apart and that this is ripping her up. She's going to do it anyway. And I think that's so interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great, wow, you just, talk about my mind being blown.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind again.
Well,
no, Serena Vincent is beautiful. I'm kidding. Serena Vincent is gorgeous. I'm still kidding. But Serena Vincent is very naked in this movie. Actually, not very naked. She gets naked a couple times. But she also gets very naked, if you're interested, in Not Another Teen Movie. She's the foreign exchange student. You should check it out. Because she claims her boobs are fake. No, she claims her boobs are real. And they're obviously fake. And that's all I have to say about that. That's part of the podcast. What I just said right there, it's part of the podcast now. No, she is obviously not the most talented actress, whatever, and you got to give props to Eli Roth for kind of putting that scene in there, because you're absolutely right. It's this kind of throwback to, like, this is all I have. And she's still, I think after that scene, she leaves and she puts on this, like, pretty little robe
right.
to go check on her friend in the shed.
Right, right.
And it's still this, like, it's all about appearances. It's all about right. like how she is the dainty kind of whatever girl.
Right.
And,
but that's definitely shit that's, like, underneath, because you know that really the reason that scene is in there is because it's awful, and people will talk about it,
and it's,
you can kind of put it in a trailer.
It's in a trailer. It's also the DVD menu. You know,
right. I mean, it's one of those things that people will talk about. Even if they don't remember what the movie is called, they'll say,
oh, yeah.
Did you ever see that movie where the girl's shaving her legs? Oh, shit, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, that's Cabin Fevers.
Right, Cabin Fevers. There is a sequel to Cabin Fever, by the way. It went straight to DVD.
Okay.
And it was directed by a cat named Ty West, who tried to have his name taken off of it because
that's a good sign.
They reshot apparently a lot of it.
Tinto Brass shot a lot of it.
Tinto Brass was in charge of the reshoots. He tried to get his name taken off of it. He made a horror movie that's decent called House of the Devil. But yeah, and it went straight.
Did Eli Roth have anything to do with the sequel?
He might have been a producer, but I don't know. And I have to believe if Ty West wanted out that Eli Roth did also, but I don't know. For sure. It's called Cabin Fever 2 Spring Breakdown.
Is it really?
I swear that's what it's called.
I'm laughing because that's ridiculous. Because there's a movie called Spring Breakdown with Parker Posey and Amy Poehler.
And Rachel Dratch.
And Rachel Dratch. And it's I've actually seen, well, I was in the room when it was on.
I've seen all of it.
I know it's been
I've seen all of Spring Breakdown, not Cabin Fever 2 Spring Breakdown. Which, from what I've read, isn't horrible.
Okay. Should we start watching it right now? Let me just press play, and then we'll see what happens.
All right. There's Ryder Strong.
Oh, back again. The dog is... Oh.
Yikes.
Yeesh.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Spring break. Don't. That makes absolutely no sense. All right, I'm stopping this.
All right, I guess we should wrap up.
Wrap up.
We barely talked about Cabin Fever.
I know. This is
like a half hour talking about Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3 is good.
You being married.
I know. I'm married.
But
so
listen, Cabin Fever is good. And if you haven't seen it, see it. If you like horror movies, if you don't like horror movies, there's no chance that you will like Cabin Fever. I really believe that.
I want to talk really quickly about The Clown and Poltergeist.
All right.
Because you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw Poltergeist when I was a kid. My brother went to Video Plus Emporium in Elk Grove Village, the video store, because I don't think there was a Blockbuster in Elk Grove. And
there was
Poltergeist. And he brought it home, and my parents were like, oh, it's the whole family. It's my parents and my old, I'm the youngest of four, and it's all my siblings and their respective boyfriends and girlfriends and stuff. And we watched it, and it's a fucking scary movie that a 10-year-old should not watch. But specifically, there's a scene in which a boy is on a bed, and there's a clown, very scary clown, sitting on a chair. And the clown disappears, and the clown chases the boy, and it's like this little cat and mouse with the bed and stuff, and it's very scary. I could not sleep for 2 days. I thought that there was a clown in the hamper. I convinced myself that this clown was gonna murder me. So don't. Well, if
why do you assume that it's a murderous clown?
Well, what else would it be doing? Bringing clown cookies. I also saw Jaws when I was like 12.
Yeah.
And Jaws is not like a scary movie per se.
No.
That's right, per se. Fuck. But there's also an element where there's a couple of frightening moments when the head pops out of the porthole and when the shark pops out
just
from the chum.
About it.
I know. But I was convinced at 12, and I was a pretty logical kid. I was not a child. I'm not a baby genius. Also, my baby genius is the sequel to Baby Genius. Actually, we only saw the sequel. But I was convinced there was a shark in my closet. I am not kidding. I was convinced that there was a shark in my closet, so much that I called my mom and I said, "Mom, open the closet. There's a shark in there."
How much salt water do you have in your closet?
Not enough for a shark to live. Yeah. So that shark was, you know, he was definitely holding his shark breath.
Closet shark.
Closet shark. Anyway, so scary movies. I love scary movies for a long time. And now I love Halloween. I love October. I love the fall. I cannot wait for this year's Halloween.
Me too.
I love all those things. I also want to say this, a quick little end story. I know, you want to go and
see. No, please.
I have a story about, okay, so this is like maybe.
Is this about cabin fever?
It's about a cabin and clowns.
Okay.
It's a personal story. It has nothing to do with cabin fever
or MUFON. Can you find a way to tie it into cabin fever?
Absolutely. I can definitely find a way.
Okay.
I had a fever one summer.
Okay.
And the only cure was cabin fever, the movie. I'm just kidding. My brother and his now wife, his then girlfriend, had rented a cabin in Door County, Wisconsin, in October of 1996 or 97. So myself and my sister Allison and my brother Rich and his soon-to-be wife had rented this, or he rented it, and we went up there for a night. And it just so happened that this night we went there was October 31st. It was Halloween.
That's Halloween.
It was Halloween.
That's the night came home.
I want to say it was November 1st because I want to say
Halloween.
I want to say Halloween was on the Friday. October 31st was Friday. And then November 1st was Saturday. We drove up there. It's fall. And they rented this cabin. It's off-season, so there's no one around. It's fall leaves everywhere, and it's a really great deal. If you want to get cabins for cheap, rent them off-season.
Cheap cabins.
Anyway, so it's a really old, beautiful cabin, one big room downstairs. There's no one around. During the day, we, like, frolicked in the leaves. We went everywhere. It was great. That night, Rich made a great meal. We put on the TV Door County's version of Svengoolie, which is, I don't know what his name was, but it's like some guy in grease paint that is, you know, pitching the horror movies on their local cable access channel.
Dork County Ghoulie?
Dork Ghoulie. He was presenting on November 1st, Halloween. The movie Halloween was
too
on.
Too late, dude. The references don't even make sense now.
It absolutely did not. But Jamie Lee Curtis
was
there.
Butting in, being like, remember yesterday?
Yesterday was so scary. So at night, we're watching TV, we're full, we just ate this meal, we're watching Halloween. We then realized, while watching this movie, it's pitch black outside. The cabin has no curtains.
You know, it would have been scary if you were watching the movie Pitch Black.
Oh, yeah, with Vin Diesel?
That's Riddick.
So we're watching this movie, The Chronicles of Riddick, we're watching. Outside, it's pitch black outside, there's no curtains on the window. We're freaked out because it's like, holy shit, during the day, this is totally non-threatening and really picturesque. At night, it is scary. It's the abyss. It's black outside.
So you also watch the abyss.
So the movie's over. I think my sister at one point
aliens
leaves, and she's like, I can't watch this. Even though Halloween is not like really scary anymore, although it still has elements of
you're watching Rob Zombie's Halloween, right?
I believe so. So then like, okay, movie's over. Rich and Teresa, his soon-to-be wife, go upstairs to their room. I have my room, I think, to sleep with each other. Corky style from Life Goes On. So Rich and Teresa go upstairs. Allison goes to her room. I go to my room. I turn the lights on. I've not been upstairs. The room, I kid you not, and this is, I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm not being like, oh, it was, you know. There were clown everything everywhere in the room. It was clown curtains.
You didn't check that ahead of time?
No, because I just like got there and put the bag downstairs, and there's a room up there for me, blah, blah, blah. So I go in the room, and it's like a clown picture frame, a clown lamp, a clown window curtains, you know, just everything was clown.
A clown with a knife.
And it wasn't even like scary clowns. And this is like, it was just like clowns. It was just a clown motif. I am probably 18 or 19 years old. I'm an adult in the laws of the land, although I'm not. I'm still very immature. Steven today. I knock on my sister's door and I say, hey, older sister, I know.
Can I sleep with you?
Were you there? Because that's exactly what happened. I said, I don't care what you think of me. I'm sleeping. So we shared this double bed.
This story got hot all of a sudden.
It did, definitely, because my sister is cute. But I stayed in the bed with my sister because I'm a pansy. That's the story. It doesn't have like an end to it necessarily.
No, but it does. It has to have an end because if you didn't sleep in the room, who did the clowns murder?
Oh, our dog, Tasha. No.
This story kind of is sad.
It's a bummer story.
This story is like Hollow Man. I was fine with all the people murder, and then the dog died.
Less Rona Mitra rape. Anyway, so that's my story. It doesn't really have an ending. It just is Stuart Morehouse in a cabin watching Halloween, and it's like, there's scary clowns. I thought that was appropriate for this podcast.
Is the clown in Poltergeist the scariest thing you've ever seen in a movie?
I have to say yes, and here's why. Because I'm sure
because
if I
watch clown story with the cabins, you're not going to tell the clown story again, right?
Okay, so I was Door County. It was the 90s. It was a different time. A man named Bill Clinton was president. The economy was on up, 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 up. Okay, no, here's why. Because I'm sure if I watched it now, I haven't actually seen the movie in a couple of years, but I'm sure if I watched it now, it would not be scary to me. But at the time, in my mindset, that was like the scariest thing.
Yeah.
I experienced it so fully and so like completely that it scared the hell out of me. Whereas now it's like, nothing really scares me now because.
Except marriage.
Woo! That's my wedding ring. All right, that's all I have to say. So, F you, F this movie. Anyway, Patrick, take us out.
Thanks for listening to F this movie.
No, thank you.
Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
And fan us or like us on Facebook.
Yeah, you can listen to us at fthismovie.blogspot.com. Or DVDVerdictPresents.com at DVDVerdict.com. Or DVDVerdictPresents.com.
Wow.
Or CabinFever.com.
Or ElyRoth.biz.
Thank you.
Bye.